guys, this is your girl Wakeji Kamore, and welcome to Reflections by Wakeji Kamore. So today, as I had mentioned, that we are going to be doing a Bible summary from cover to cover. In the last podcast, we did Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and today we're going to be doing Genesis chapter 3. And Genesis chapter 3 is basically the fall of man. So this is where in the garden, Eve encountered a crafty serpent who convinced her to eat the tree of the forbidden fruit, or rather to eat the fruit from the forbidden tree, assuring her that she will not suffer if she does so. Then Eve continues to eat it and then shares it with Adam, and the two are immediately filled with shame and remorse. And then while God was just taking a walk in the garden, God discovers their disobedience and he asked them, "Ala, you guys, what's happening?" And then they just kept blaming each other. Adam blamed the wife, Eve, and then Eve blamed the snake. So it was just like a blame game. So he cast the serpent and then he cast the couple. Eve was cast with suffering painful childbirth and that she must submit to her husband's authority. And then Adam was cast to toil and work the ground for food. And then the two are subsequently... big words in the morning, you guys. It is 6 a.m. and I'm dropping big words. They were subsequently banished from the Garden of Eden. So anyway, I feel like that's a story that most people know, again, because it's Genesis, and that's where we always start while we are reading the Bible the whole year. So this is a story that you will have covered before your nini goes south. But anyway, some of the things that I have learned from Genesis chapter 3 is, number one, is that Satan is a liar. Like, from the beginning, Satan is a liar. I don't think Satan has any truth in him. Like, I don't think he can say anything that is true. So let me tell you where I get that from. So it says, this is Genesis chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" You see, the thing is that even the first thing that the enemy says is a lie, because God did not say that they should not eat from any tree in the garden. They said, God had said, you can eat from all the trees apart from this one. But the enemy came and made it look like, sasa hata God amesema, mwezi kula kutoka kwa mti yoyote. Yani, you guys are just like over there seated. You can't even eat. You can't even touch any tree. You can't even do anything. But I like the fact that the woman was quick to correct the serpent. But I don't even know why she's engaging with the serpent. I'm like, a talking snake. I'm like, no, I ain't doing that. But then also, they had just been created, so they don't know which animal is supposed to be speaking and which one is not supposed to be speaking. But anyway, the woman goes ahead and corrects. She says, the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Sasa, Eve pia yeye aliongeza, I don't know, like she exaggerated what God had said. God had not said that they shouldn't touch it. There's nowhere God had said that she shouldn't touch the tree. But because now the enemy has come, she has been confused in her head. Now she's even saying things that are not even true herself. Because she says partly truth, that we may eat of all the fruits of the garden, trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat the fruit of the tree that is in the midst or that the middle of the garden, which was true. And then she ended up continuing to say, neither shall you touch it, lest... I'm like, there's nowhere in the Bible where it says that God told Eve to never touch the tree, or to tell Adam or Eve to not touch the tree. But anyway, my first takeout is that the enemy is a liar, and he comes to do nothing else. He just comes to confuse your mind and to make you feel like, yani, you're in a hopeless situation. Like, he made Eve feel like, yani, she's in a hopeless situation. Like, you can't eat from here, all the trees that are in the garden, which was a lie. And sometimes I feel like that is exactly what the enemy does, especially when you're in a fix where something is not working and it was really important to you. He makes you feel like everything else is not working. Have you ever been in a situation where just one thing in your life is not working, but you just feel like everything else is not working? Life now has ended. Like, now we are just in a bad, miserable space. That is exactly what the enemy comes to do. He comes to amplify the things that are not working in your life to make them look like everything else is not working in your life. But anyway, the other thing that I learned from this chapter is that it is man's nature to blame instead of to take responsibility. Adam, when God asked Adam, "Ala, kwa nini mmevaa nguo? Kwa nini mmevaa, sorry, mmevaa twigs?" And then Adam said, and then he said, "It is this woman that you gave me. She gave me the fruit." And then when Eve was asked, "It's a snake." There's always like our first response is usually to blame someone. And sometimes this happens even in like bigger things. Like sometimes things did happen to you in your childhood, or things really did happen to you in your childhood. But now you're an adult, but you're always blaming everything else that is happening in your life. It's because things happened to you in your childhood. But how about just taking responsibility and said, you know what? Yeah, probably things happened to me in my childhood, but you know, I can go and see a therapist and I can sort this thing out so that it doesn't have to happen again, or I don't have to keep blaming other people for the things that are happening in my life. There are sometimes things will happen at the workplace, but you'll always blame other people. You'll never probably just take responsibility. And that's just the nature of man, to blame other people instead of taking responsibility. The other thing that I learned is that God still had a plan to redeem us, as he promised, because in Genesis chapter 3, he actually promised to send his son Jesus. And this comes right after the curse when he's cursing the snake. And let me just look for it. And it says, the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and above all the beasts of the field, and on your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. I will put an enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." In this specific verse where it says that he shall bruise his head, the Bible is actually speaking about Jesus Christ and how he will come and he will atapatia shetani kichapo cha mbwa. That's what I like to call it. Atapatia shetani kichapo cha mbwa. And yeah, like he actually is speaking of the promise of sending his son and how his son he will rescue us. So God still had a plan, even when he's about to kick people out of the Garden of Eden. He had a plan to restore us to himself. He had a plan to rescue us and to redeem us. Some of the things that I would like to apply in from this Genesis chapter 3. Let me just go back to the takeout. The other takeout that I had from Genesis chapter 3 is that God is still merciful even in his punishment. Before God removed Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, he actually covered them with the skin of an animal. He actually was being merciful even in the punishment. The Bible says, this is in chapter 3 verse 20, says the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. So before he put them out from the garden, he actually clothed them. He clothed them with skin. And God is merciful even when consequences are happening to us, because there's always consequences for the things that we do. Even when consequences are happening to us, God is merciful and God is still just. God still cares about us. So those are some of the takeouts that I had from Genesis chapter 3. And one of the two ways I think I would like to apply the things that I have learned is to just never believe everything that the enemy whispers in my thoughts. Because as we have seen, he has no capacity to tell the truth, number one. So everything that he tells you, just know it's a lie. So the opposite is the truth. So if he tells you, "Aki, you will never be," just know the opposite is the truth. So you will be. If he tells me, sometimes like right now, the things that he's whispering is that it's January and now my apartments will not have guests. And honestly, Now the guests that were in December have now started leaving, like the guys that had taken the houses like long term have started leaving, and sometimes I wake up I panic because I'm just like, you guys, I have rents to pay and now I'm looking for long term guests, and the devil can come and whisper, you know, ma, it's now January, ata hutakuwa na guests, now you'll just, your houses will just be like without guests, and then you'll have to look for money from your pocket to pay rents and to pay all the bills, but I want to believe that the opposite is true, because that is what he's whispering to me, and he's magnifying that in my head. I want to believe that the opposite is truth, because he has no capacity to tell the truth. So yes, that's the first application that I have from Genesis chapter 3, to not believe what the enemy says. As a matter of fact, to believe that the opposite of what he whispers in my thoughts is the truth. And then the other thing is that when I'm in the wrong, I'll just take responsibility, apologize, and seek to make things right, as opposed to just blaming people. Because when you blame people, you never move on. You're always stuck at some point of you're blaming people, and then the people you're blaming will probably never come to say, I'm sorry. And even if they did something, which is true, the serpent tricked Eve, and Eve gave Adam the fruit. But now if you keep blaming each other, it's not going anywhere. Just take responsibility and say, yeah, I was the one who was deceived, and I took the fruit and I gave it to Adam. And then Adam will say, yeah, I was seated right there and I saw the snake talking to Eve, and me, I ate it. And then I ate the fruit. Yeah, and you'll just take responsibility and then apologize. Probably if they had told God, we are really sorry, give us another chance, God would have been merciful and given them another chance. But now we're out here, not in the Garden of Eden, because they just decided to not take responsibility and not apologize. So in my life, I want to take responsibility and apologize and seek to make things right. So that's it, guys. That's Genesis chapter 3, the takeouts, my personal takeouts and my applications. I still do encourage you guys to read the Bible for yourself, so that then you're able to, you know, have your own personal takeouts, have your own application, because the Lord reveals different things to different people. We can read the same chapter and we have complete different revelations. So yes, I encourage you to read the word for yourself and have a good time doing it. And this is Wakeji Kamore, Reflections by Wakeji Kamore, and I'm out. Have a good time. Bye.